Today concludes our series of sermons that are centered around the biblical understanding of first fruits. And we've taken three Sundays now, and we've talked about the different references in the Old Testament to the concept of offering our first fruits, that it was a wonderful tradition of bringing one's offerings as a sign of gratitude and a sign of trust, that you brought the best of what you had to offer to give thanks to God and as a sign of trust that God would continue to provide. But today I want us to look in the pages of the New Testament. As it usually happens, when you make that transition from the Old Testament to the New Testament, you often see similar themes, but those themes are in a sense changed. They are given a different light. You're seeing a different perspective on them. And the idea of the first fruits from the Old Testament to the New Testament is very similar, but not the same, because it is a different light is shed on it as we think about it in the light of Jesus Christ. And so his life and death and resurrection did change everything. And that also means it changes our complete perception, or the fuller picture of first fruits means to us. So let me just share with you these few verses from 2 Thessalonians. I always have to stop and say that carefully. You want to test your speaking abilities, try saying 2 Thessalonians three times really fast. It doesn't work, trust me. And so this letter to Paul's, the second letter of Paul to the church at Thessalonica, in the second chapter, beginning with the 13th verse, we hear these words. But we must always give thanks to God for you, brothers and sisters, beloved by the Lord, because God chose you as the first fruits for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and through belief in the truth. For this purpose, he called you through our proclamation of the good news, so that you may obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brothers and sisters, stand firm and hold fast to the traditions that you were taught by us, either by word of mouth or by our letter. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and through grace gave us eternal comfort and good hope, comfort your hearts and strengthen you in every good work and word. May the Lord bless us a portion from his holy word. There was a comic that I clipped out and I have in my collection. And I really thought it was clever and funny, so I've kept it all these years. But it's a single frame comic. And in this single frame picture, you see a minister standing at the front door greeting his congregation as they're leaving after worship service. Well, at first glance, it seems that it's a very normal kind of picture. Every church has that tradition of the pastor greeting the congregation as they're leaving, and this picture shows that tradition being upheld. But if you look closely at the picture, you notice that there are some things that are maybe a little out of character. First of all, right next to the pastor on the table there by the door is all sorts of stuff. And you look at it closer and you realize it's coins and dollar bills and wallets and checkbooks and watches and jewelry and all sorts of stuff, and it's just overflowing on this table. And then you look at the man who's shaking the pastor's hand and you notice his pockets are turned inside out. And as he's shaking the pastor's hand, he says, "Reverend, I have to tell you, that was the finest stewardship sermon I've ever heard." Well, the good news for you folks is this. Today is not that day. Because our emphasis, as we have gone through this series of sermons, is not so much about meeting a budget, not so much about paying the expenses for the church in the year ahead. Don't get me wrong. Those are important things. But that has not been our emphasis in this sermon series because what we have wanted is for you all to see and understand the joy of giving. To see and to understand that it is and ought to be an act of gratitude to bring our offerings to God. Not out of compulsion, not out of requirement, not out of some expectation that it is a quid pro quo with God, that if you do this for God, then God will do this for you. But as an act of gratitude and a practice of generosity. And generosity brings with it joy. And as we have used this theme of the first fruits, we have seen that was a theme even in the Old Testament of giving to God out of the gratitude of our hearts. Giving proportionally, giving the first fruits, bringing the best of what God was offering to His people and returning it to God for His honor and glory. But as we step into the New Testament and we take a look at this passage from 2 Thessalonians, we see that the apostle is trying to get us to see that it's definitely not about that quid pro quo. It's definitely not about what we can do for God to keep God happy. Because in this passage, he is saying to us that we are the first fruits. We are God's gift. Well, I think that what he is trying to say in this passage is that we are the recipients of God's greatest gift ever given. That the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ has changed the whole picture. And that you and I live as people not in fear of God, but as people who are in awe of God's love toward each and every one of us. That you and I are the recipients of God's greatest gift. God has given us the first fruits of His love and of His righteousness in the gift of His Son, Jesus Christ. And so, as Paul is writing to the church at Thessalonica, he is reminding them that they are the recipients of that gift and that they ought to exhibit gratitude in their lives and that gratitude ought to be seen in their works and in their words. And so it is that for us, stewardship is that recognition. That recognition that we are recipients. It's not about making the budget or how much money we raise or all of that. But it's about how much our hearts are touched by the good news of Jesus Christ. How much our lives are made different because of what God has done for us through the sacrificial giving of His Son, Jesus Christ. You see, Paul goes on in the letter to the church at Rome, and he reminds the people there that it's not about our offerings anymore. It's not about bringing burnt offerings and all these other offerings. It's not about all those rules and regulations that we find in books like Leviticus. But it's about offering ourselves, offering our lives, offering the best of who we are out of the gratitude of our hearts, recognizing the greatest gift ever given. And so in a few minutes when we have that opportunity to present our offerings for the day as the plate is passed, and in a few minutes when we have that opportunity to bring our pledge cards to the front, we are saying that we are grateful people. We are saying that we are thankful people. We are saying that we have heard the good news of Jesus Christ and we cannot be the same anymore. We are saying that we want to do good works. We want to share that good news in this community and in our world. It is a public affirmation. It is making a statement. It is taking a stand for gratitude and gratefulness. Would you pray with me? Almighty and ever-loving God, you have given us the best of yourself in your Son, Jesus Christ. In his life, the way that he lived that taught us how it is that we ought to live. In his death, that ultimate sacrifice that paid for our sins. In his resurrection, that ultimate sign that not even death can separate us from your love. O God of grace and mercy, we are grateful. We are thankful. We recognize all that you have done for us, and we respond this day with our lives, giving ourselves wholly and completely to you, so that all the honor and glory might be unto your name. We pray this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.